Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading you may find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the first 25 verses. But first, the reading of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Further out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 1 through 25. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let us ask the Lord for His blessing upon our gathering. Almighty and eternal God, it is in the evening of this day, Thy holy day, that we may come together in Thy house of prayer, round about Thy holy word and eternal testimony. Lord, may it please Thee to gather with us, and that Thy Spirit may have work to do in this evening, and that the words spoken in this day may not testify against us, but that it may be a savor of life unto life, and not of death unto death. We are but poor creatures of the dust, and we have been created in a perfect way in our covenant head Adam, and then there was a perfect communion between the Creator and the creature. Lord, we ask of Thee that in spite of our sins, that Thou would draw nigh unto us, and that Thou would come yet with Thy Spirit, working almightily in the heart, and that Thou would grant a token for good. It is all in Thy hand. It is not in our hand. Oh, that Thou may be gracious, long-suffering, and patient with such as sinful creatures of the dust. Thou hast a people here upon the earth that have been taught by Thee. Thou hast a people that have learned that in themselves that there is nothing good. But Thou hast also come in the fullness of time, and that Thou did come to satisfy the justice of God and to pay for the redemption of Thy people. Oh, that it may please Thee to yet look upon us in Thy mercy, and that Thou would yet convert sinners unto Thee. Lord, it is not of ourselves, it is of Thee alone, and then to learn that by grace, that is the wonder of all wonders, to be taught by Thy Holy Spirit of what we are by nature and what Thou art by grace. Then Thou art the Almighty God, Thou art the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, may it please Thee to yet remember us in Thy mercy. Remember Thy church over the length and breadth of the earth, wherever the truth of Thy word is brought forth, that it may be blessed on this day, and that sinners may be born in Zion, that Thou wilt gather, as Thou hast said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in. Lord, grant it then, and give yet that it may be an evening in Thy favor, and that Thou would bless Thy own word. Remember, Lord, the sick and the afflicted, him in the hospital that is severely ill. Oh, be on his right and left. Touch his heart, because then the sickness is so dreadful. Oh, Thou alone can make it well, not man, but we are called to bring Thy word. But it is only Thee that can fulfill it in the heart of a sinner. Remember her also in the hospital in a mental care. Lord, that Thou may give healing, and that Thou would look upon her in Thy mercy and in Thy grace. Lord, remember also the little one in the hospital. Care for him and look upon him in thy mercy. Remember also him who had surgery in this past week, a young man, but it was successful, and he has returned to his home. Give a heart of gratitude unto thee of what has taken place. And then there are other sick ones in different places. Lord, remember the mother with her sickness. Oh, then thou alone can give help in time of need, and be mindful of her. Lord, give yet that thy grace may be found, and that thou may plant it in the heart. Also him who is in Mexico, Lord, thou knowest his needs. It seems to be going better at this time, but, O Lord, sanctify it also unto his heart, and that it all may be to thy honor and to thy glory. Those who cannot legally come up to thy house of prayer, remember them and care for them. Maybe there are some that do not even care to come twice to thy house. Correct them before it be forever too late. Lord, think of widows and widowers. Look upon them and care for them and supply unto them all what they need. They are lonely times, and then they need a visit from above in their heart. Oh, the greater Boaz, that he may give comfort and strength unto them. Some must go through deep ways, difficult ways, but, O Lord, that thou may be on their right and on their left. Remember those who travel the pathway of life alone. O grant unto them also what they need day by day. And be mindful then, Lord, of parents and children. Give unto them what they need, all that thou may bless them, and look upon them and care for them. Lord, we ask that thou would be mindful of all those who labor on the mission field. Wilt thou help them? We think of those in Bolivia, beyond their right and left, and may it please thee to bless thy word there also. Remember him of Bolivia who is studying for the ministry. Help him and care for him. He is one born in the country, and yet that he may yet go forth and speak of life and death, well and woe. And the students in the theological school, help them and care for them. Supply unto them what they need. And Lord, we ask that thou would help the instructors in the theological school. Grant unto them what they need, and that their eyes are only upon thee. Bless our school in Loma Alta, and help the students and the staff there. Grant unto them what they need. And our school here, Lord, many students, all with a soul for eternity. Grant that their eyes may be lifted up unto thee, and that the instructions given may be yet placed in their hearts by thy power and by thy grace. Lord, the needs are many. Help the staff in the school. Help all who have part in the school, and that thou may bless them and care for them and help them. Oh, then, unto whom else shall we go? Then there is only help from thee alone. Lord, wilt thou also be mindful of the parents who received a child, that it may be one to be born, that was born, to be born again. Lord, it is in thy hand. Care then for parents and child, and make it well. Wilt thou then help in all ways those who listen to church phone, grant unto them what they need. Remember the vacant congregations in the denomination. Give that at thy time, that an under-shepherd may be sent to them, and that they may be able to hear the lively preaching of thy holy word. Lord, remember land and people. Remember those in authority over us. Oh, that thou would convert them, turn their hearts and eyes unto thee alone, the living God, and give that there could be a return to thy word and testimony in this land. Lord, there are many needs, many cares. Oh, that thou might yet then be mindful of each one and give that thy kingdom come and thy will be done, and that all things may redound to thy honor and glory. Help yet in this evening thy servant. He is but a speaker that knows not what to say. But give yet Aaron's and hers in the midst of us, and grant that the words and the matters may come from thee. Lord, a serious message every time we are in thy house of prayer. Bless then the whole congregation with the friends that are gathered with us. Give also what is needed to each one, and that our eyes are unto thee alone. Remember the brothers of the consistory. Help them in house visitation, catechism, and all the work that must be done, confession of faith. Lord, look upon them and help them from day to day. The needs are many, but thou art a faithful God, and thou canst help in time of need. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood. Look upon us in and through thy only begotten Son. Lord, grant then that our eyes are truly lifted up unto thee, the living God. Do it all for thy great name's sake. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us continue with Psalter 448, and the extra collection is for the church periodicals. 448, blessed be the God of Israel, the Lord who visited his own, who by his gracious providence, redemption unto us made known. And what follows, 448. Dear congregation, in the past weeks, then we have spoken a word out of the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism of the misery of man. And the two young men that had written the catechism, they have so explicitly explained what is involved, because he says, "Whence knowest thou thy misery?" And he said, "Out of the law of God." And then he asked, "What doth the law require of us?" And that he teaches us briefly that word love. To love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. But he goes on in this first part, and then he says, "Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness?" And then the answer is, indeed we are. And we have spoken about that in a very clear way, because he says, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then it is also explained in the next Lord's Day that the disobedience of man that cannot be rectified by another man, but it has to be only by God. And then he asked, "Is not God then also merciful?" And he says, yes, God is merciful, but God is also just. Just from eternity, just throughout the time, from Adam up to this very moment and until the end of time. And then when he speaks of that, that if we receive not that mercy of God, that he plants that new life in the heart of a sinner, then it shall be everlasting punishment. That is how he explains that. And then tonight we wish to continue with the second part of our Heidelberg Catechism, which speaks of man's deliverance. For tonight we wish to consider Lord's Day 5 on page 31 in the back of the Psalter, question 12, 13, 14, and 15. Thus, question 12, since then by the righteous judgments of God we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? His answer is, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? He says, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And the answer is none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed, and further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? And the answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. Thus far the words of our catechism. With God's help tonight, then we wish to speak of the great need for deliverance. And then we find in our catechism two key thoughts from these questions and answers. First of all, that justice is to be satisfied and to have deliverance. And secondly, who has made satisfaction for that deliverance? Thus, the great need for deliverance. We heard in the first part, in the part of mystery, that we are incapable of ourselves to do anything. We have heard that we have sinned completely against an holy, a righteous, and a well-doing God. He had ended in that first part with the words, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And that word regenerated means planting. That the Spirit of God plants in the heart of a sinner that new life. And that is the only way to receive regeneration, conversion, the new birth that the Lord can place in the heart. Thus, it speaks about the justice of God is to be satisfied, and then in that way, there is a way of deliverance. When we think of it, the sinner, according to God's righteous judgments, deserves death. Maybe that sounds hard. Maybe that sounds difficult. That's exactly what Scripture teaches. Without the grace of God, then we remain dead in trespasses and in sin. It is that one-sided work of God that He comes and works in the heart of a sinner, and He gives instructions in the heart of that sinner of what they have become in their deep fall in paradise, and what the Lord can do with His grace, when and if He may apply it to the heart of a sinner. Thus, when we think back of the fall in paradise, then there was spoken of the word death. And that was death, external or temporal and eternal. Because without this, what this section speaks of man's deliverance, without anything of that what Christ had done to give deliverance unto a poor, a needy, and a lost sinner, then outside of that congregation, there is no hope. But now there is still hope because God's Word speaks of that there is a way to escape the wrath to come, and that is not of ourselves, not anything that we can do, but it is God alone by His Spirit that grants that new life in the soul. And all the devils in hell cannot remain or cannot take away that good work of grace in the heart. That soul will be tested. That soul will be tried. That soul will be plagued. But then never can the devil or his host take away that good work of grace in the soul. Thus, the sin of paradise passed upon all of Adam's posterity. But then he says here, since then by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. You catch the word? Deserve. Strong? True. That's the truth, congregation. Temporal and eternal punishment. And then he comes with a question. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? So these two young men are asking that question, and they are placing it. Here you have as an instructor and two students, and they write it in such a way that the students are asking this question to an instructor. They say, but is there no way that a person can be received back into favor with God? And when we read that congregation, then he says here, but God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. God will have his justice satisfied. When we think of that, that is justice, meaning that God is so right in all his ways. And how shall I explain that? And listen carefully. If God had never converted one person from the time of creation to today, if God never converted one person, his glory would still be full. But out of his good pleasure, from eternity, he has taken a people for himself. And that is why there is regeneration. That is why there is still a way back to the heart of the Father. That is why that the Lord still gives that his justice will be satisfied, and that he is that perfect, righteous God that has all things in his hand. But he has devised a plan from a never begun eternity. It says in Galatians, and it also says in Ephesians, before this world was formed, that in eternity he had devised a plan that he would draw a people out of the human race. He would place regeneration in their heart, and he would give unto them that they will seek the living God. And then they become conscious in their soul that I have sinned against such an holy, a righteous, and a just God. Oh, you say, must it go that way with everybody? Cannot we just accept Jesus? Can we not just say, well, yes, I'm a sinner, and I accept Jesus? I don't read it that way in Scripture, congregation. That's the doctrine of Arminianism. But God will take a sinner, and he will place that good work of grace in the heart. And that becomes, you know what it becomes? Becomes an eternal wonder of free and sovereign grace. And what will those people say? Huh? What will those people say, congregation? Me? Receive the grace of God? Oh, I am so unworthy. I have sinned so deeply. I have transgressed the whole law of God. And thus when he says here, it has to be, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. And now when we think of that answer, that justice of God, that's a perfection in God, and that he will do everything for the conversion of a sinner. Thus, and then when he speaks here of ourselves or of another, is it possible of ourselves? Is that possible of ourselves? That I will convert myself? If that's what you believe, you're on the wrong track. You are not on the narrow way to eternal life. No. Because every one of God's people learn it is of him, it is through him, and it is unto him. And what do they desire? What's planted in the heart that they so desire? That God will receive all the honor and the glory. And I said it this morning to you, that they will take the lowest place that can be found. And then they will express, how is it that a God that is so great that is almighty, that is the creator of heaven and earth, who had already devised that plan of redemption before this world was. How can it be that he would draw such a sinner as I? And you know what, congregation? The biggest part of the people don't even know or realize the deadness of their heart. No. Says in Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and in sin. And the Christendom of today don't like to hear that. No. They said, no, I'm alive. I praise the Lord. I have accepted Jesus. Has Christ accepted you? Then we go back to eternity. And I cannot think of a truth, a precious truth, that is greater than that. Because if there was not a council of peace, where God had drawn forth his people, there would be no hope. Not for one. But we may declare unto you, it happened. It took place that God had chosen a people. And then it speaks of a little flock. Maybe here, maybe there, maybe in another place, a little flock. But one day, then it says in Revelation, it will be a number of God's people, a number that no man can count. And why is it? Why will it be a number that no man can count? Think, no? Pay attention. What's the answer? Because it's all God's work. Do I learn that when I'm dead in trespasses and sin? No. But I am taught that in that work of regeneration and the work of the Spirit in the soul. And then that soul is delighted in what God does. Yeah. They see what sin they have. But then they learn by grace what this section is about, of man's deliverance. And then he speaks there of himself or by another. When we think of this, that spiritual warfare that takes place in the heart of a sinner, then there's a sorrow over sin. There's what we read, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There is a way that of deliverance that the Lord can reveal. And just let me call your attention to Acts 2. Then what did they say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Even under the preaching of those of the apostles, then the Lord had touched 3,000 hearts. And their first question is, what shall we do? They knew that something had to be done. But they didn't know how. No. And so the apostles had stood up and had proclaimed unto the multitude what could be done. And then they brought out, you have crucified the Lord of glory. You have placed him on the cross of Calvary. Thus, that is where you have to look. And thus, congregation, satisfaction by ourselves or by another? No, it cannot be. Because he says, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? And his answer is by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Oh, you say, well, how can we understand that? How must we understand? Satisfaction must be made for deliverance. And when we think of that, then we have to learn that to be delivered, then we must first know from what we must be delivered. So you can speak about deliverance, And you might even know it in your mind about that the Bible, the scripture teaches that there is a deliverance by Christ Jesus. And there are people that begin with Christ and they don't speak of anything of the sorrow of sin. Now when the Lord comes and He reveals something in the soul of that way of deliverance, then they have learned and they know already that they were a lost sinner and they cannot reconcile for themselves. No. Thus Christ has said that He had come to seek and to save the lost. And now that's nothing temporal lost. Spiritually lost. Thank God. Do you take time day by day, congregation, to think of it? Do you take time to get on your knees and pray? Lord, reveal that to my soul. Do you take time to sigh yet to the King of Kings, if it may be thy holy will, work in my heart? And then someone is saying something. I can see in the mind of some people they're saying something. Then they say, well, but you tell us that we cannot do anything. That's right. But have you learned that? Have you been taught that we cannot do anything? Then we also read in Scripture the responsibility of man. Call upon me, seek the Lord, ask and it shall be given. Is that all in vain? A congregation, let I tell you out of the love of my soul, if you cannot do it from your heart, use your mind. Ask the Lord with your mind. Become a beggar before Him. And there's not one example in God's holy word that He has turned down a beggar. No. But He speaks here that very clearly. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? By no means. He comes there very strong. By no means. Because He says, we find it in Job 15. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. You say, is that what I must listen to? It's not my word. It's God's word. Do you still have reverence and respect for God's word? That is from the Lord Himself. Thus, when we think of that deliverance, then we have to be rescued by another, not of ourselves, and to be restored into favor with God. Thus, no man can deliver himself. No man can deliver his brother. That all the tragic fall in paradise that lays upon every one of us. But there is a way of deliverance. If I had to stand here all night and every Sunday and just say that we are miserable and that we have sinned so great and never go any further, then I'm wrong. Then God's word we have to get back to. Because here He says, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? And He says, by no means, but on the contrary, we increase our debt. Yeah. What kind of people have learned that they increase their debt? Not a dead sinner. What kind of people learn that they increase their debt? When the Spirit of God enters the heart, and then the eyes are open, and the ears are unstopped, I begin to love God's Word. I want to search it. I want to read it. And then I look for even other books that speak so much about how it goes within the heart. Take a book like Harvested Sheaves from J.C. Philpott. He explains right to the degree, day by day, what lives within our heart and what is the only way of deliverance. Thus, congregation, when we think of it, we must be delivered from our awful and the tragic fall in paradise. And then the instructor says that our debt only increases, and then it increases also in thought, word, and in deed. It increases in all the things we do day by day. Thus he speaks so clearly in that Lord's Day. And then when we think of it further, congregation, then there is the remonstrance. They were followers of the theological views of Arminius, and they teach election and rejection. Now catch this, because it's very lively today. They teach election and rejection are founded upon foreseen faith. And boys and girls and young people, you understand that? They speak about that it's founded based upon foreseen faith. Now, just what does that mean? What do the remonstrants teach by that? And I say it with great reverence, that God from eternity looks upon the human race, sees those who will repent of themselves, and he works in their heart because he had known it that they would, by that foreseen faith, that they would do that and that they would be converted. When we think of that, Christ died, they say, for all. But only believers receive forgiveness. Thus, what is the result of that? That grace is resistible. And that one cannot fall out of grace. That we agree with. Cannot fall out of grace. Thus, this view is not according to the Scripture. It's not according to our forefathers in the Synod of Dort in 16, 18, and 19. They had come against it. And then I read in Psalm 143, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." No man. And now that people are a poor and a needy people. They have a poor and needy soul. And what do they learn? One of the greatest lessons in our whole life, congregation, to learn. What is that great lesson? That I cannot pay anything. So clear. And when we think of that, that they become so poor and they have nothing to pay. What's the result of that? A beggar. A beggar. Externally, I've seen so many beggars in my life in Bolivia. And now to become a spiritual beggar. You may have everything in life you want, but have you ever become a spiritual beggar? And thus he goes on in question 14, "Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us?" And he says, none. Just none. Can there be found anywhere throughout the whole world who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And his answer is just a plain, short, none. Because a mere creature cannot satisfy for another. No. He cannot satisfy for himself. And when we think of that, man will spend much on self, and that he They even, I mean spiritually, no, they will try this and will try that. They promise that they will live according to the law and that they will be more faithful in coming to church, more faithful in coming and reading God's Word. But it all must be given. That little boy was a beggar. Every time somebody came to him and says, "Will you receive this or that?" he said, "It comes from above." And I can say tonight that that true regeneration comes from above. That any encouragement in the soul comes from above. Any visit of the Lord in his soul of his people, that comes from above. And what do they finally learn? That I can do nothing. And when God begins to work in the heart, then it is so congregation, there is nothing easier. They can fold their arms because God must perform everything. Am I so receptive to that? Oh, no, I am born that I want to do everything and I want to satisfy the Lord. But that breach between an holy God and a sinful creature, oh, that breach, that gulf is so wide and so deep and that you cannot pass over it. But there is one that has passed over it. There is one that had taken that gulf and they had united and reconciled a sinful creature of the dust to an almighty God. And I believe I said it in this morning, that an almighty God sees the sinner through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that sinner then, in the eyes of God the Father, that sinner is perfect because of the blood, congregation. Not my doings, not my intelligence, not my even searching and reading. Then I come to a point that I learn it is all of him and it is all through him. And then time and again the Lord returns and he gives a little visit in the soul. Oh, that encourages that sinner. And then they may lift up the Lord and they want to exalt him so highly because they learn their unworthiness. They learn their deadness. They learn that of themselves they cannot do it. But here, when he says so clearly, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's wrath. Eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Not at all. It is God's work. And then he says here in Revelation, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. That book of life. And all the names are written there that are all the children of God. And not an angel can peer in that book. Not at all. But God the Father, he knows all the names that are written in that book from a never begun eternity. And that's so sure and steadfast. Cannot be changed. But for us, it lays in God's secret will. And we cannot see into the secret will of the Lord. We have the revealed will. That is what's before me. The revealed will of God. And that teaches us what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. Thus the instructor is saying that no creature has the power to satisfy the justice of God. No creature has the power to give redemption and to redeem that people. Not at all. But it is impossible for a creature. But then he comes further here. What sort of mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Oh, he writes it so beautiful here, congregation. He takes it step by step for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is very God. True man, truly righteous, truly God. That is what's necessary to redeem the church of God. What does that do? What is it that that answer do? That answer that it leaves man outside and that help must be found in another. What else does this answer? It points to a living cry from a wounded soul for deliverance. A living cry. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And now, and you hath he quickened, made alive. And now when they are made alive, congregation, then they begin to cry. A baby's born. That baby is so tiny. But it becomes hungry. And what does it do? Cries. The minute it cries, the mother is ready to feed that little baby. Why is that baby crying? Because it's alive. And so it is in the spiritual realm. When God converts a sinner, then there's a cry that goes out to him. Can those people always believe that the Lord has truly begun? Oh, they have times in their life that there can be so many storms. They can have times in their life they say, is it me or is it the work of the Lord? It will be tested. Every soul that's born again, that he or she will be tested. And as the Lord works and gives his grace in the heart, then all the strikes from the devil and his hosts will become more and more. And Satan tries so hard to convince it's just your mind. It's not true. It's just your mind. But if what God begins, he will complete and he will finish, congregation. Thus, what do we see here? Great is the mystery of godliness. And then when we read that, then we read something of that also in, here it is in Romans 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. There we have a section on deliverance, and the only deliverer is the eternal Son of God. Let us sing. Psalter 158, beginning with the fourth stanza. A glorious banner thou hast given to those who fear thy name, a banner to display abroad, and thus the truth proclaim. 158, beginning with the fourth stanza. what sort of mediator and deliverer then must be. And then it speaks of, for one who is very man, perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is very or truly God. When we think of that and what he has in that question, that what a mediator and a deliverer this must be, then a mediator is one who can reconcile two persons and bring them together. They stand apart. In paradise, Adam and God, there was a perfect communion between them. All the time they were in paradise, whatever it was. Most of our old fathers feel it was a short time. But then there was a perfect communion. Sin entered and broke that perfect communion. But now here we have a mediator, and that mediator, he brings these two people together. But now in this sense, this mediator is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings the sinner into union with the Creator, and then that mediator, he can do that because he has paid the full price, fulfilling the justice of God, and that as mediator, then he has a mediator of reconciliation, that he can do all things necessary for time and for eternity. Thus, this mediator is between God and man. No person himself and no other one can help, but because the mediator has done the whole work of redemption. Appointed from eternity, came in the fullness of time, suffered and died, paid the full price, even a heathen judge had to say, I find no fault in this man. And now, congregation, this mediator is a mediator of reconciliation, and he is a mediator of intercession. Reconciliation, bringing them together. And he of intercession, he is that eternal high priest at the right hand of the Father, that he intercedes for his people all the days of their life. And that he is an intercessor, that he is given to reconcile, to bring together that people. Then it is the eternal wonder of God's free grace that these people are led by the Spirit into the mysteries of faith. And now when he says here so clearly what sort of mediator, what type of mediator and deliverer must we seek for? So he adds a word here. He adds that word, what we must seek for. That's scriptural. But do we seek? Are we interested in this mediator? Let me back up just a little. Have we been enlightened and made alive again? That we realize what lives within us and what a great deliverance there is in this deliverer? It is important, congregation, that we think of it, because he has to be true man as we are, soul and body. He is not only true man, but he is also truly righteous. And the third, he is true God. And now Christ Jesus, He hath fulfilled that completely for his whole church. And they shall come from the east and the west, the north and the south. Makes no difference what color of skin or what language they speak here on earth. They all will be taught the language of Canaan. They all will be taught of that there's nothing left in self but in Him. And then there is times that those people may rejoice in God. They have times that they may see that this world is so empty. And they have times that they even desire to be rid of this world. That they long that they may know Him perfectly. That they may receive a visit from Him. That He may carry all their needs. And that there may be forgiveness. And the Lord, oh, He is just and right in all His ways. And He grants unto that people just what they need. We need the salvation congregation. And salvation is not in the hand of man. It's a miracle of free and sovereign grace. And you look in the book of Jonah, there it says salvation is of the Lord. That word Lord is Jehovah. In our English Bible it says Lord with capital letters, but it is Jehovah. And then when we learn something of that, there can be a joy. Oh, there can be an eternal wonder. Why did the Lord look on me? Have you experienced that? Do you know what I'm talking about? That you may receive that eternal wonder. When the light of the Spirit shines in the soul and gives instructions from above. And then I come back to Ephesians 2. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Quickened congregation. Are you quickened by the power of the Spirit? Are you quickened that you may see what lives within self first? And then quickened that you may learn who this deliverer is and that He has paid a full price. Thus a mediator is needed. And this mediator is only the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside of Him, there's no hope. There's no remission of sins. There's no future. Then we remain as we are, dead in trespasses and in sin. But that way is still open. I may proclaim that unto you for the greatest of sinners. Boys and girls, teenagers, young people, parents, and older ones, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh, that you may cleave to this one mediator, this one Savior, this one deliverer, and outside of Him there is none. Oh, that you may find rest in Him, and that you don't go on thinking that it's well, but not to find rest till you find rest in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And then to find rest on that solid rock. And that rock is not myself. That rock is not my doings, not my merits, not my works, but that rock is Christ. Amen. Lord, we come unto Thee at the close of this hour. Thy mercies upon us are so great that Thou dost give us yet that we may be together in Thy house of prayer and that Thy name may be honored and glorified. Oh, remember yet each one of us. Care for us. Bring each one safely to their homes. But Lord, give a holy concern in the heart of each one. We know not when the day will come that we must exchange time with eternity. O gracious Lord, be merciful, be long-suffering, be yet our God and our guide. Wash and cleanse us from all our sins. Remember all the activities of the week. Give yet that thy blessing may rest upon it. Forgive our sins. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to announce, to remind, that Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock is Seniors Morning, and all are invited. Let us close with Psalter 396, the stanzas 3 and 4. The Lord is right in all His ways. His works His love declare, and He is nigh to everyone that breathes the trustful prayer. 396, 3 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.